The following is a KMOX sports special.
Our city, our spirit.
Welcome to the City Spotlight.
It's in! City goal!
Now, your host, Jen Cease, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX Radio. That was the voice of Joey Zanaboni, voice of St. Louis City SC. And I'm Jen Cease. We'll be your host tonight for the 1 hour City Spotlight. Kyle Sixta is right here next to me on all the controls. Of course, KMOX, still getting over. It's taken me a few weeks, Kyle. I grew up with KMOX on the AM dial only. My dad passed away back in October, and I would probably have to explain to him how, no, it's not gone from the AM dial. It's also on 104.1 FM.
Right. It sounds good on 104.1, too.
It really does. It really does. I'm going to go back to all my schooling on, you know, FM waves and AM waves. There are strengths and differences to both. But definitely on the FM side. So that's a funny thing for me still to see in this studio, but always available on both sides of the dial. And of course, also streaming. You can get us online. You can get us on the Odyssey app. So there is really no excuse for missing this show or any other show on KMOX. And of course, we also stream too. So if you happen to be on YouTube or you happen to be on Twitter or even Facebook, you'll find us streaming as well, which is one of the reasons I have to do my hair for this show instead of not having to worry about that back in the good old days of radio. So let's go on to where we're here to talk about. That's St. Louis City SC coming off their third straight loss of the 2025 MLS regular season. The team is 7 games into the season with their record of 2-3-2. Right now, they're sitting at number 11 in the Western Conference. Just yesterday, after training, head coach Olaf Melberg spoke to us at the media. He spoke about it being a disappointing loss, of course, against rival Sporting KC.
Conceded very few chances and had some really big chances. So, you know, that's always something we're looking at, creating more and better chances than the opponents. And we did that. We reacted okay after their first goal, but the last 10, 15 minutes are very bad. And that's when they created their best chances. You know, it became chaotic, unorganized. We were a little bit all over the place. So last 10, 15 was bad. Very disappointed to concede that first goal because I thought we were the team with the momentum and up until then was the better team. So it was a tough defeat.
And though coach thought City had control of the game, particularly in the first half, in the video review that they typically do on Mondays, they found areas of improvement.
There were periods when we could have moved further up the pitch in our defending. You know, we were in low block for a little bit too long. We had really good positions in high defending, so I think we could have done that more often to put even more pressure on the opponents. We could have been a little bit more vertical in our possession, a little bit too much sideways and backwards, going back to Ben when we can, you know, get our strikers involved, be a little bit more direct. Even though, it was a solid game, still room for a lot of improvements.
Yeah, notes there for me anyway, having him talk about the verticality and City really not having that. We've noticed that from the beginning of City playing this season. It is different. It does look different, going backwards more often, moving side to side more often, which under Coach Bradley Carnell was a little bit. He wasn't a big fan of the big switches and things like that. So things definitely are different. Now, Coach Olaf Melberg was also asked about the challenge of keeping up team morale after City's third straight loss, especially to a rival.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big problem because they can feel we are doing things right, you know, in training and in games. Confident playing, they're comfortable in their positions, they feel the tactics are working, you know, the game plans are working. Just extremely frustrated not to win the games. So scoring on that first corner chance, the first 15 minutes of the game, there's not much in the game, you know, they're not creating anything. And then we get these two really, really big chances, which obviously would have changed the game around completely. And then we had some more after that, and they have, until the goal, very, very little. So away from home in a derby game, that's a kind of picture you would take. But obviously now it's about getting 3 points.
Of course, another factor in City leveraging their control in that first half was the loss of Joachim Nilsson to injury only about 23 minutes in. There's no real update on Nilsson just right now, other than it doesn't seem to be as serious as previous injuries, although he does still have pain currently at this point in time. His game exit called on the entry of Tomas Ostrak and then some shifting. Ostrak pushing Konrad Vollem over for Kyle Hebert on the left side. Hebert then moving into Nilsson's position in the three back. Coach Melberg said that this was a scenario, though, that they were prepared for.
Yeah, we had been working on that in training, very comfortable doing that. And Connor did really well in that position. You know, he had that chance and those runs. In a perfect world, we would have kept Connor in that position. But, you know, that was the change we knew we could make, a different profile in Thomas. But obviously, Connor did really well in the left wing back as well. We created much more danger on that left-hand side after that change. You know, Connor is a good player and a good player can play in many positions.
Yeah, of course, if you remember the game, I'm sure you do, a lot of those attacking parts coming from Conrad on the right side, him shifting then to the left, putting the ball across, notably one time to Akil Watts with the sitter that didn't go in. That was a tough one for sure. Finally, at the end of kind of our time with Coach Olaf Melberg yesterday after training, I asked him a little bit more about player versatility since he was talking about Conrad, his ability to move pretty much anywhere around the pitch. And this hit home for Coach Olaf Melberg, particularly with his experience in developing youth players.
Conrad as an example, you know, the versatility, being able to play in different positions, being able to defend well, you know, you just look at his physical data, you know, in any position, that is so helpful for us. And, you know, that profile player is extremely helpful to our identity also as a club, you know, being hardworking, high intensity. You know, at the moment, we're not able to put enough of them on the pitch at the same time to be able to play the way we want to. You know, I work with a lot of young players. I really like high intensity, high pressing football. You know, but you'd have to adapt to the quality of the players you have. But Conrad sets an example in that way.
So that was a really, to me, an interesting answer that has a lot of information in it. First of all, I was really coming from, that was my question. I was actually asking him specifically about advice to youth players. We know that a lot of youth players, when they're young, get very attracted to or get very set in a certain position. So Coach Melberg, of course, a fan of players who can move around, and the more, you know, the more things you have in your arsenal, the more chance that whatever particular team on, you can help them out and be on the pitch. So that was the point to that question. And then he really went on and talked about how he is very much a fan of the press. And that reminds me of when City started with the Gegenpressing, right? With that high press style of playing that it didn't seem like they started out with this year, a little bit more calculated, a little bit more defensive. However, he talked about being a fan of that, but key words there, he's got to have the personnel on the field that he thinks can do that. And I go back to my own college days of playing. I actually had at Lindenwood, we had a coach switch after my second year there. And our style changed after that. And when I asked our coach about it, it was Tim Champion, who coached SLU women for a while. His particular talk with me was that it's not that I don't like the particular build out that you guys were doing under your previous coach. I'm fine with that. But he thought that given the particular roster we had, it led to a more effective direct style of play. We ended up playing more balls, longer balls out of the back, more direct play, a lot more vertical than we had in my first 2 years at Lindenwood College. So it was just a very, when Coach Olaf Melberg talked about that yesterday, it really reminded me of, you can be a fan as a coach of whatever style of play, but you also have to believe that you have a roster that can execute that style of play to your satisfaction. And it doesn't sound like there is enough players, at least available at this moment in time on City, to execute the high press for sustained periods of time for St. Louis City SC. Those are my thoughts on his comments. I thought that was a big one. I'll definitely make sure we ask Dale Schilly about that up next. Real quick, though, some player updates. As we just talked about, Joachim Nilsson, he's in some pain. Doesn't seem as bad as other injuries, but they're unsure. There's really no return date for him at this point in time. It was nice to hear that Roman Berkey is getting closer, but don't get too excited. He's feeling good, and he's starting to do a little bit more with his injured hand, but there is a lot of waiting still for that full clearance on Roman being able to do what Roman does so well. Of course, Thomas Totland, he was running outside of team training. So was Rasmus Alm. They were doing their laps, not in with the teams yet, but definitely out there getting their laps in, getting their miles in, getting their work done. As for the others, Giannis Horn, Chris Durkin, didn't get to see them this week, so don't have an ETA on them. Jay Reed, often see him after training, juggling one of those mini soccer balls, so he gets his training done and does that. That'll be exciting to see what that does to change up City's lineup when he's available. And then finally, Edward Leuven. He is not out, as everybody, I think, knows, for any injury. It's personal leave at this point in time. No ETA on Edward Leuven just yet. So City's next game, of course, home this Sunday. They're back at Energizer Park for an early evening match against the Columbus Crew. They're at the top, by the way, of the Eastern Conference. It's a 6 p.m. kickoff with pregame on our sister station, Y98, at 5:30 p.m. With that in mind, we'll talk a bit more about the lessons learned from the SKC loss and the upcoming match against those top of the Western Conference Crew with Y98 game analyst Dale Shilley. He's up next on KMOX. Jen C's back with you on the City Spotlight here on KMOX. Joining me now, Dale Shilley, St. Louis City Academy Director and our game analyst on Y98 for all City games, except for the last one, because I filled in for Dale. Yeah. Dale, I hope I did an okay job.
Yeah, I think you did just fine. I'm starting to sweat a little bit.
Don't sweat too much. Don't sweat too much. I didn't certainly bring us a win, that's for sure. And of course, City with three, you know, really, you know, tough losses so far. I was interested hearing Coach talk after practice yesterday. He actually talked about how the SKC and the LA Galaxy games to him were very similar. And really, he called out also, it wasn't in the highlights I played last segment, but I wanted to talk about how the LA Galaxy was actually a lot more threatening to City's defense, of course, but they were just able to finish, I guess, is the answer.
Yeah, you know, the LA Galaxy game, they opened themselves up. They threw so many numbers forward. If you remember, they built with two and then three guys in midfield, all narrow, much in the style of Columbus, which, you know, interesting. But they don't have the technical ability or the patience that Columbus has. So we were able to catch them on the break when they were opened up and trying to be a little too cute in the way they played. Columbus will be a different story. I'm sure we'll get to that. But so I would say, you know, a little bit like Kansas City in that they were trying to overplay and overpass. But LA Galaxy only had two guys in the back, two center backs staying at home. So there was a lot of space to run into.
So, you know, you as a coach, of course, no loss feels good. They're also not always equal. This one against the rival definitely hurts. Definitely hurts to go out to Kansas City and have their first win of the season be our loss to the rival. However, he did talk about the fact that Coach Olaf Melberg, that some of the stats were really excellent, just a matter of finishing. So how concerned are you, is maybe him as a coach right now, or is it just really one of those cliches of it's just a matter of time?
Well, I don't know that it's a matter of time. I do think that he has a little bit to hang a hat on with the chances created and an XG of above one, which is important. I mean, that's a step in the right direction. It's not where you want to be for sure, but it's a step in the right direction. You know, for the first, whatever, 20 minutes, give or take, we did create more opportunities than we had seen in, you know, the majority of the games so far this year. So, you know, where he had them playing the game pretty tight to his vest and being a little more reluctant to give opportunity to guys that were a little more wide open and a little more attacking minded. I think he got to see the influence and the impact that those guys can have on the game and how they can help create chances to help us win games. After all, you know, we get 3 points for a win and one for the draw. So, you know, sometimes you have to take some risk and you've got to figure out how you're going to score goals if you're going to get a win. So I think from that perspective, I think it's not a matter of time. It is a matter of a decision to commit to giving some attacking players the opportunity to help you win games.
Are you thinking about anybody in particular? Who comes to my mind, of course, is Celio Pompeu, who you talked about, I believe, after the Austin game of probably making a case for himself, given him coming in, kind of changing the how the game looked. He, of course, started against SKC. went 65. He was only supposed to go about 60 minutes. When he subbed off, I definitely knew he was not happy about the staff making him come off. Are you think you're talking about Salio and or more Tomas Ostrak and or more players getting healthy that are a bit more attacking minded?
Yeah, Salio is the one. When you have think about a situation where we know we've got the attacking players of Boettcher, Klaus, Hartle, and not that all three of them are going to be on the field at the same time, but imagine a situation with Vallum, Pompeo, and Totlin back in the lineup, along with Hartle, you know you got those four, and then figuring out what's the best piece from there. Is it, you know, Toyscher, Boettcher, Klaus, is it one of them, is it two of them? How do you keep the team balanced with ball winners versus attacking minded players? I think there's a solution in there somewhere. Vallum's been good. Vallum has, you know, through all the trials and tribulations for the year, he's been a consistent performer. He has been goal threatening, and he has worked his tail off on the defending side of the field. I think Totlin offers similar. So you add Pompeo to the mix, and then you make a decision on those guys complementing Hartle, and then you make a decision on what other piece do you need, and what do the other three guys bring, and what's the best person to have on to complement what you got. I think there's something there. That's what you got to start building on when you start taking risks on guys, and Salio's made the most of it.
Yeah, he did talk a little bit about the fact, he made an offhand comment about the team not really having any attacking left-footed players, and he even called out the fact that Indiana Vasilev, who we know no longer have, of course, would have potentially filled in that role. And there's a couple of things he talked about. These are now defensive players, but he called them out in terms of potentially helping us attacking, meaning Roman Berkey, of course, who's not available yet, but of course Roman's quality at feet cannot be denied and changes the game when your goalkeeper is just in some ways like another field player with his foot skills on the way you attack. And he also mentioned Timo Baumgartl, who I think Tom Timmerman from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch asked him, like, when is Timo going to get some time? And he was a little coy, but said, you know, it could be soon. And I wonder if that would change the way, of course, hopefully not change the way City defends, but potentially changes the way we can build out?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I haven't seen enough of Timo to know. I just know what he brings as a character guy from what I've seen, interactions amongst other players, how he handled himself in a City 2 game. So you try to get bits and pieces and make some assumptions and try to connect the dots a little bit. So, I think when times are tough, good character guys are important so that body language is still good, attitude, communication amongst players, the feeling of optimism when you're on the field is important. And Timo, from what I saw, possesses that. What I've seen possesses that. So he could be a good one. I just don't know enough about him as a player to know what he looks like in the build-up and those sort of things. You know who I saw running today was Jay Reid. He's not ready.
Oh.
What? That's a lefty.
Okay.
Yeah. Think about that. That's a lefty that can get up and down the flank, give you some things there, and freeze Vallum up to do some other things interiorly if that's where Coach Olof likes him. So, you know, there's some more out there. There's another level for us as well. It's not, you know, we lost the game. We lost to Sporting Kansas City. I get it. But we've got some tough games ahead of us, but hopefully we've got some guys on the mend and some other options now to help us score some goals.
And of course, as you know, Sunday, Columbus Crew is coming up. They're at the top of the Eastern Conference right now. I took a glance, Dale, over at Apple TV, MLS Season Pass, and they've already, you know, kind of have a little thing around the Sunday match to watch, and that's the match they're calling out, and they're pitting it as the City defense, right, the solid defense against a very attacking, creative team in Columbus. Is that what we are probably going to look at on Sunday?
You have to assume. And it's not that Olof wants to sit deep. They force you to sit deep because of their possession style and because of the way that they build, the numbers where they put them, how they structure themselves in the buildup, they force you to get back onto your heels. The key for me, if that's the case, which is fine, we can absorb pressure. We know we can sit in the back half of the field and defend. But you have to be threatening as well. And if you're not threatening, the team can take more risks and put more players forward in more attacking spaces because they don't feel threatened. They don't feel like that you're goal dangerous. So we have to be able to have a real counterattacking threat, you know, to keep them honest, to keep some numbers deeper, so that we, you know, can not have to defend against so many people. It is going to be a good game. They're good. AZ scored the other day. We saw him score the first of their two goals against Montreal. He was playing like a central attacking midfield role. Not sure if he's a regular starter, what we'll see, you know, in that capacity this weekend. But they're, you know, good on the ball, good possession, small passes, big switches, and they always get numbers in the box.
All right. Thanks, Dale. I will see you on Sunday.
Thank you.
That was Dale Schilly. You can hear him and Joey Zanaboni at City's next game. That'll be home at Energizer Park, as Dale talked about taking on the Columbus Crew. They're top of the Eastern Conference at the moment. Returning City player Aziel Jackson is a part of that squad. That's Sunday, April 13th, a 6 o'clock p.m. kickoff with a 5:30 p.m. pregame show on our sister station, Y98. Hang with us on the City Spotlight. We're going to hear a preview of this game's player profile with returning City midfielder and fan favorite Celio Pompeo. He's next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Back on the City Spotlight for definitely one of the... I like all the segments, but this is definitely a favorite one for a lot of fans. You get a little sneak preview. So every Jen Cease, by the way, Kyle Sixta here alongside of me. But it is every Y98 pregame. We have 30 minutes where we talk about what's coming. We do a view from the booth with Dale and Joey and myself. We talk. Dale Schilly has all kinds of great things about numbers and what we need to look for in the game. We also always have an interview with Coach Olaf Melberg, and the player profile is one of them that I do. So every week I get a chance to sit and talk 5-7 minutes or so with a City player, a little bit about if they're new, what their background is, if they've been with the team, how things are going, any updates. And this week, I got a chance to visit with someone who is definitely a fan favorite. So if you remember, during City's home game against Austin, things got even livelier at Energizer Park around the 61st minute due to a certain yellow-cleated wearing fan favorite entering the game for some decent minutes. City midfielder Celio Pompeo and I caught up this week about his return to play, and he started off with his gratitude for all the support along the way.
Yeah, of course, I feel very thankful and grateful for them, you know, because when I was out, I received a lot of messages, and this, of course, it's so nice. Give me power and energy to keep going, but I was working to be on the field since the day one, the first game, and it was a process. But now I think it was my first game that I actually played, like, minutes, you know, it was, like, good timing. Give me time to do something, and when I came in, just heard them screaming, and my feeling was I just wanted to give back, you know, something. And of course, my give something is like to try to score, try to assist, or make something impactful to win the game, because soccer is a collective, and it wins the players who impact more in the game. And I wanted to do that. Yeah, and like I think I did in a certain way. They bring attacking threats, but in the end of the day, we didn't win. So this is very like frustrating, because we put all this work and we want to get out with the 3 points, especially at home. Here is our fortress with defense. So yeah, it's just want to, like, when I come in, I want to be impactful and do something positive so we can get out of with the 3 points. That's the most important.
Let's go back just one question around your injury, because I remember when it happened. I've seen the play over and over again, but let's talk about your recovery process. I've been injured before, and for me, it was one of the loneliest times as a player, because I could see my team, I could give them high fives, but I couldn't do anything with them. How did the recovery work for you, and how did you stay dialed in when you can't really be involved?
Yeah, you cannot be involved. Like you say hi and every day, hey, how are you? What are you feeling? It's basically every time the same questions, and you just, it's just very hard for your mental. Of course, you're alone, you work alone. And but the thing is most important for me, to be honest, was my family, the people was that was around me, gave a lot of support at home. And because you just gotta grind, you're just alone and nobody's watching you, nobody's watching you, there's no work in here, and it's just a long time that you just gotta breathe and do it, like just do it, the thing, you know, just do what you gotta do. And I was just trying to keep my mind positive, and every time I was thinking, I want to be back, I want to play again, I want to play again. And well, it was hard. I'm not going to say it was easy. It was very hard. But yeah, but now I'm just trying to enjoy. And every time when like I'm complaining a little bit, I think about the months that I was in the couch just doing nothing, not playing. So yeah, just very, very thankful.
Of course, the team not happy to have you and Tomas Ostrock out at the same time. But Tomas talked in preseason about how it was helpful to have definitely. Somebody that knew what he was going through.
Exactly. Me and Tomas was kind of like a similar injury. He was his ankle too. So we were doing basically together our rehab. And it was very nice to have him because it was somebody to talk who was going through the similar thing. So it was nice to have him around. Of course, we didn't want to be injured, but it happened, and it was good to have him around and to talk and to vent and to share our frustrations to each other. He shared to me, I shared to him. Yeah, good friend of mine. So yeah.
So you're back. I remember coming off my own injuries and needing a moment in a game to happen for me to then trust my body again. Was there a moment for you where you had to be like, I'm good?
Oh yeah, like definitely in preseason, you know, we need to right now have the first tackle in the first like dribbling moment. So I was just trying to feel comfortable, feel like myself again. And I think by Coachella, I think the last games in Coachella, the New York City game, I was feeling good again. So yeah, it was just a moment that you do something that you did when you were normal before the injury, and then, oh, actually I'm good. My legs feels pretty good. Now, thankfully, everything is normal, like zero pain, nothing. And yes, and thankful to the staff here who was with me here the whole off season. They did a lot of work too. But together, you know, like I put the work in, but they also gotta give me the energy and keep telling me what to do. And yeah, I'm just glad to be back on the field, and I want to keep impacting the game and trying to win games, trying to score goals, trying to assist, trying to win games. That's the most important. We gotta win, and we have such a nice fan base here. So yeah.
So you come back to a team that, you know, you've changed coaches before, you've changed teams before. You're probably one of the most resilient players I know. You're always up for a challenge. But when you went out, City was playing a bit differently than they're playing now. What's that like to adjust to a new system and also find the Celio that was there before?
Yeah, it was definitely a different system with Coach Olof. But like I always say here, you guys know, I always try to adapt. You know, I try to make things work. It doesn't matter how the system is. I gotta fit in, you know. It's not my team. It's the St. Louis style, and we gotta fit in, and we gotta give everything. And I'm just trying to do my best. And basically, I think it's all the players, you know. Nobody here is here to just have a job. Everybody wants to put the work in, and we just trying to like do better because we have quality. We can play better, and I think it's like a 50-50. It's like, but it starts with us. We are the guys who are on the field, so you know. So we just gotta keep working because it's a different style, but we gotta adapt. You know, it's nothing. Nobody's gonna play. I like to be wide. I like to dribble. No, but I need to be inside. So I gotta adapt to the situation and do what the boss wants us to do.
That was Celio Pompeu, City midfielder. I feel very comfortable in saying fan favorite. He's definitely one of those. Nice to see him back. He got 65 minutes, I think. They was only supposed to get 60. He came out after 65. He was not happy about it, as I expect from Celio Pompeu. Looking forward in the next game to potentially posting up for some more minutes. It was great to have that. And if you heard that, that's a sneak peek of what we always play in our Y98 pregame before every City game, no matter if it's away or it's home. That was Celio Pompeu. So stay right here. There is one more segment to go, and we're going to take a local angle in the international game. St. Louis native Gracie Milam just got back from her time with the U.S. U-17 youth national team. They just qualified for their 2025 World Cup, and Gracie is up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Wrapping up with the final segment on the City Spotlight, Jen Cease here with you. Kyle Six does on the controls, and on the phone right now is a young lady that I've known for a few years, actually. She plays with my daughter in club ball, Gracie Milam. She's a St. Louis soccer player for the Lufus 2008 Girls Academy. They were champions last year. She's a recent addition to the U17 U.S. Youth National Team. They're heading to their 2025 World Cup. And Gracie, thanks for joining me tonight on a night where I'm sure you have so much homework to make up for when you were gone.
Yeah.
Did any of your teachers give you a little bit of a pass, though? You are representing your country.
They definitely pushed my due dates back, but honestly, I still have a lot of work. AP tests are coming up.
Come on, teachers. Well, Gracie, thanks for your time tonight. I will tell you, just being somebody who's the mom of a teammate of yours on the club side, and then, of course, just being a fan of the game and watching the growth of the women's game and watching what you've done, got to ask you, I've worked with you in the club level. I've seen you play. You've trained at the U.S. Youth National Camps before. How was this game experience different for you, appearing actually with the Youth National Team as a member of their roster?
Well, in the previous camps, I feel like the girls, we've done air squad, and so we played against each other. And I feel like at this CONCACAF tournament, we were able to come together as a team and actually like play and have chemistry. And I feel like it was just a completely different environment that was really cool to be around.
Well, so tell me a little bit more about that environment. Watching you guys train with Lufus and watching you train for like Girls Academy's Champions Final, watching you do long times when you guys come back together, especially when you've gone to high school seasons, you know the grind. What kind of grind is the U.S. Youth National Team compared to what you already know with club?
It's definitely a very high intensity compared to club even, which is crazy to say, but... and the grind it's all the same, honestly. Once you get on the field, it's just soccer, and it's the same thing that I've been playing since I was like 5 years old. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, when you thinking about you growing up, I mean, the parents, we're in our group me chat, we're sharing pictures when you guys were little, but coming together with girls you don't know, with players you don't know, who all come from different styles of play, different strengths, is that hard to try and then make something, get some synergy together when really you guys are all parts of really high level soccer, but different teams?
Yes, that was one of the things that I really struggled with at the beginning of the USYNT camp, was playing with all new girls because, like, as you know, our team has been together, our club team has been together for ages. And so playing with new girls was definitely a step out of my comfort zone. But honestly, everyone there is just so unbelievably talented that it doesn't take long to build chemistry and to start playing together. But also, I do think that the chemistry was something that we can work on as a group together, and that as these as we have more camps gearing up for the World Cup, I think that that'll definitely improve and we'll be an even better team than what we are right now.
Yeah, and I got to ask you too, I know that at various ECNL, GA, it doesn't really matter when you get into finals, it's not unusual to hear the national anthem before a game. But I have to believe that probably hits differently when you're actually representing your country against another country. Did those moments hit differently for you?
Yes, they were very emotional. It was like a dream come true. I won't lie, I teared up a little bit, but it was such an honor and such a cool experience.
So tell me a little bit too. I know you from the last few years playing more of a central back position, even though you might be on the left side sometimes. Here you were playing in a left wing back position or full back position, or so to speak, you know, which does happen when you change teams or you move to a national team and they have specific needs. It's probably not that unusual. Moving club and then eventually going college. I know you're going to be a Florida Gator. You could be called upon to do something different than in club. Can you speak to the importance of being, and I'm thinking of the kids who are maybe listening right now, who maybe get attached to a position, of how important that is to be versatile and really just be a soccer player versus a particular position?
Yeah. Well, like me, you just have to be able to step up anywhere on the field, because sometimes you're needed elsewhere. And so for me, being an alternate, I was able to take advantage of a great opportunity because I was willing to play a different position and was able to like do well at it. I also think that being able to play other positions is really good for learning and like honestly improving your primary position, because even as a center, like as my primary position being a center back and playing the two and the three, I was able to distribute like well compared to like some of the other girls. And I think that was credit to me being a center back. So also knowing just how the different roles work and how they work together is really important.
And of course, in that second game, I reported that actually part of our halftime report in City's last game, I believe if I got it right, the U.S. Youth National Team beat El Salvador 7-0. And in the course of your play with them, you got a goal and assist. Way to go, left wing back.
Yeah, I was up for a corner.
You take it. You count it.
Yes, for sure. It was so cool. And honestly, I was so excited. I was like starstruck that I scored, and I forgot to even celebrate. I definitely got made fun of for that a little bit, but
oh, you know what? You know, so many people make fun of my daughter, Marin, Mo, as you guys call her on the team, doesn't really have, you know, that kind of really gritty goal celebration. It's actually quite cute what she does. And I think those moments are really authentic. It is a surprise. So like, not only did you get called to your national team as an alternate, you get on the field, you're there representing with your national anthem, you're then getting time on the field, and oh, you have a couple of results yourself with assist and a goal. I don't know how you come back to real life and actually get your homework done.
It's been a struggle for sure, I'm not gonna lie, but yeah, it was so cool. It's such an experience, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. It was definitely a big learning experience for me.
So last couple of questions is, I already know your team, right? And you know, you can talk about Gallagher's top ECNL team, you can talk about Fuse's top GA team, Missouri Rush's as well. There is a level of play there that the other teams know is different. What was different for you about the level of play with a national team? I got to believe it's a step up. How is it a step up? Is it speed of play? Is it skill? What was it for you?
It's everything for me. Like, speed of play was definitely the biggest slap to the face when I first started training with him. But as you go on, obviously the speed of play becomes more normal, and training with boys definitely helped with the speed of play because they're more athletic. And Yeah,
for sure. So last but not least, got to ask your advice for young players dreaming big. You've got a little sister. I've got a younger daughter who's just a little bit younger than your little sister. Is it playing multiple positions? Is it adapting to a new team style? For those little ones that are looking and going, wow, could that be me someday? What would you tell them?
It definitely could. I'd say dream big, because like, you never know what opportunities come your way. And I promise you, I did not think I would be in this position when I was 5 years old, but I was dreaming for it. So I always like think like, reach for the stars, because even if you don't make it, you're still on top of the world. So that's how I always think.
Gracie, that was awesome. Thanks so much for your time tonight. Congratulations on all of your appearance, but your national team moving onto the World Cup for 2025. Look forward to following you in future games.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
That was Gracie Milam. She's a St. Louis soccer player for the Lou Fuse 2008 Girls Academy team, recent addition into the U.S. U-17 Youth National Team. She got some playing time. She got assists. She got a goal. That's pretty good in my book. That'll do it for the City Spotlight tonight. If you missed any part, you can always find it free on the Odyssey app under the podcast sections. Has all kinds of previous content like the pregame interviews with Coach Olaf Milberg and players. The next MLS regular season game for St. Louis City is home at Energizer Park against the top of the Eastern Conference Columbus Crew. That's Sunday, April 13th, kickoff at 6. We'll have pregame for you at 5:30 p.m. on our sister station, Y98. I'm Jen Cease, and you've been listening to the City Spotlight on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.